Hey everybody, welcome to the Gootscast. I'm your host, Ray Goots. And today, we are covering AEW Dynamite. Interesting episode. Not that amazing, but some good stuff.
What kind of shirt is that today?
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, baby.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool. That's a pretty cool Ricky the Dragon Steamboat shirt. Nice. From the shop?
Yeah. There's some good stuff on the shop. You just have to wait for the sales and know where to look. Can't get this anymore. It's just a rare shirt, man.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, you go on it pretty regularly, so I think that's why you usually get the good stuff. You know, you snooze, you lose, as they say. Yeah. But yes, tonight's episode, not exactly what I was expecting, but wasn't. I thought it was better than last week's episode.
Yes, it was. I go to Twitter. Yeah. And man, every wrestling journalist is saying how fucking this guy's like, the first out was fucking fire. And I'm like, maybe if they lit the arena on fire, it would be fucking fire. But it was good. It's just like, I just feel like everybody who's a wrestling journalist, every Monday's the worst Raw ever. Every Dynamite is the best Dynamite ever. It's like, can something just be okay? And something just be like, it was bad, but it wasn't the worst. Like, why can't everything has to be
it? Everything has to be the best and the worst. Yeah. Man, I don't know. Twitter's not real life. That's just
everyone on Twitter should die. So that's what
DM Punk's words, actually. Twitter is not real life. It's true. Well, tonight's show is coming to us from Houston, Texas. It is live. And we start off with John Moxley's music hitting. Eddie Kingston, John Moxley walking their way to the ring. And when they just get jumped by 2.0 and Daniel Garcia, who beats the crap out of them. They get into the ring and 2.0 is like, we're calling out Sting right now. Come on right now. So we go straight into our first match, Darby Allin Sting versus 2.0. This is a Texas tornado match today. So basically there's no rules. You can fight anywhere you want. There's no count outs, these weapons. They fight all the way to like close to the concession stand. They do this thing where 2.0 have this finishing move where they do the slingshot and they call it two for the show. They do it up on the wall on the ceiling on Darby. That looked pretty cool. Darby does this really cool catwalk thing. You see when he walked down the catwalk, like catwalk down this like kind of like the rampway. At the end, there's like this big fat fan who doesn't even realize that Darby's standing right behind him and jumps onto everybody. Darby takes a nasty suplex onto the wheel side of a skateboard. That looked nasty. Sting gets powerbombed through a table, no sells it, pops back up. Fans are going ballistic. They're loving this shit. Sting hits double Scorpion Death Drops, and then he does a double Scorpion Death Lock. He cinches in good. He held it in good. It didn't look shitty at all. Both 2.0 taps out. Everybody's fucking cheering. Fucking Darby's bleeding from his fingers. Good opening match, in my opinion. What did you think?
I thought it was the best match of the show.
Best match of the show? Yeah, it was.
I thought it was an effective story. First of all, I will say this.
Yes.
If Undertaker got powerbombed through a table by, like, Otis and Chad Gable and then shot right back up, the same fucking nerd, the wrestling people, media, Reddit, would be having a fuck. Well, I would be, too. Would be having a fucking heart attack, but Sting did it with these guys and they loved it. I love this match. I can, you know, while I'm watching this, I'm like, God, WWE really. I think the biggest blunder of Vince McMahon's career is not taking Sting when he was younger and not knowing how to utilize Sting. I think Sting is his biggest miss. They fucked up Sting so much. The only defense I'll give them is that their doctors would not clear Sting and Tony Khan's a mark and he'll allow Sting to cripple himself on live TV because he's a mark. But I'll defend WWE by saying that like their doctors would not clear Sting and Tony Khan's a mark loser who will just...
I don't 100% like trust WWE doctors.
Well, they're erring on the side of caution because of what happened to Benoit.
But they always do this thing like... You know, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Daniel Bryan, you're not clear to wrestle at all. All of a sudden, he's like thinking about leaving. Oh, wait, yeah, you can wrestle. Same thing with Edge. Wasn't Edge the same fucking situation too?
Yeah, but Edge, yeah, but I think they try to err on the side of caution because they can't afford to have someone drop dead, get paralyzed, or fucking murder their family again.
Only when it's to their benefit. When it's like, oh, okay. Oh, but if you're going to wrestle somewhere else, no. Even though we just said that we don't want to risk dying, we don't want you fucking going anywhere else because we're fucking, at the end of the day, we're assholes. And
they wouldn't let Tyson Kidd wrestle. They're not bending on that.
Yeah, but let's see if Tyson Kidd tries to go somewhere else. We'll see.
Well, I would let him go somewhere else. I don't
care. Yeah. But look, because we've seen this happen with Daniel Bryan. We've seen this happen with Edge, where they go, our doctors won't let you wrestle.
Yeah, but Daniel Bryan got a bunch of doctors that approved.
You know what? Guess what? The doctor just said you can wrestle. So you're going to wrestle.
No, but no, Daniel Bryan got multiple doctors. No. Daniel Bryan went to multiple doctors who approved him. And when he went and he got a report of multiple doctors, then they said it's okay. He had a lot of multiple doctors
disagree with the WWE doctors.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then Edge got cleared to do the spear, and Vince didn't want him to do anything more, even though he was cleared. And then then Vince gave in because he said, "I'll go to AEW." And then like, oh,
okay. If I had to like pick a doctor,
I don't know why you're criticizing them for erring on the side of caution when Benoit.
I'm not criticizing them when they err on caution. I'm saying I don't trust their doctor.
Well, I think the doctors.
I just gave you examples of why I don't trust.
Okay, but I'm saying like they're gonna probably bend the rules if they think they're gonna lose money. But at the same time, it's like they're probably trained to err on the side of caution so they don't fucking have a lawsuit on their hands.
If you love their doctor so much, you can 100% do that.
No, but I understand.
I'll tell you one thing. If they were like, hey, you want to go to this doctor, the WWE doctor, I'd probably be like, nah, I'm good. I'll stick with my own.
Okay, but I'm just saying that, like, as a company, you want a fucking 62-year-old man to break his fucking neck in your ring, and then you got to fucking...
No, I'm not saying that. I just think there's too many instances with them that I don't think...
This is a weird thing for you to be critical of, that they're, like, trying to, like...
No, I think you're not listening to what I'm saying. I'm saying I don't find them trustworthy. It's not whether or not I want to see an old man get crippled. I just don't find their doctors trustworthy.
Well, they clearly didn't want to, like, bend the rules for Sting because they don't think Sting's a draw. So they were like...
That's what they say. That's what they're saying. I don't trust their word. So you're basing everything based on what the WE doctors are saying. And I'm saying I don't trust them. So why would I fucking... Like that,
I think if it's to their benefit, they'll risk somebody getting paralyzed. But I think for Sting, they're like, there's no financial benefit to Sting fucking breaking his neck wrestling fucking Roman Reigns. So fuck it. Let him go somewhere else.
Okay. Well, another person who would say their doctors suck balls is CM Punk. So anyway,
that's a completely fucking different story. Because he was complaining the doctor wasn't cautious enough. You're being critical of doctors being too cautious.
The whole point of the story is their doctors fuck.
You're just like everyone. Everything WWE does is wrong. Hey, we don't want you to get injured.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
We don't want you to get injured, so we don't want you to wrestle because you're 61 years old. Oh, you're a dick. We want you to wrestle. Who gives a shit if you get injured? Oh, you're a dick.
Ray doesn't think old people should do anything.
I don't think a 62-year-old man should be put through a table.
That's what you're saying right now. You're saying old people shouldn't do anything at all.
Well, they certainly shouldn't be the president nor get put through a table.
So they shouldn't do anything. Oh, you guys hear here. Ray Goode says old people shouldn't do anything ever. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's multiple instances where their doctors are incorrect or fucking inconsistent or pretty much stupid. That's what I'm saying. I don't
trust anything they're saying. It's not stupid. It's not stupid. To fucking be like, hey, you know what? Let's be cautious because we don't want someone fucking dying in the fucking ring. Because we're a publicly traded company. We can't afford that. Let's have, you know what? Instead of fucking putting Sting in the ring, who might fucking break his neck again, let's have Roman Reigns and fucking Otis wrestle because they're both healthy. They're not going to drop dead in the fucking ring.
But who said this? That's a great point. Who said this, though? Who said this?
No, I'm just saying that he's not clear.
I'm asking you a question. Answer the question. Who said this? It's a good point. Who said it? Well, you just said, who's the one who came up with this? Oh, we determined that he is not able to wrestle because we're going to risk paralyzing.
But whoever they had Sting go to, they would not medically clear.
Was it a teacher? Was it a professor?
I don't know. They wouldn't medically clear this guy.
It was a doctor that WWE uses. And I'm telling you, I don't find their word trustworthy. It's like, It's like, if you're listening,
Andrew, this is a weird thing for you to be critical of. You understand you why?
Say that whenever it's something that
why they don't want Sting in the ring. You understand you're wrong. Why. You understand why?
You're wrong every single time.
You understand why?
We could just move on because you're not going to convince me. You can, dude. If you want to trust our doctor,
you fucking stink. That fucking Sting.
Dude, you're so fucking stupid. If you hit your laptop, you're not hitting me.
Dude,
you're just hitting your own laptop.
You're a fucking idiot right now. You're being a fucking idiot right now. You think.
Luke is all upset.
No, because
you have sex with their doctor.
Shut the fuck up. Let me talk. Shut the fuck up. All right. You fucking listen to me. You're like, who said? You have this weird thing. Like, what do you think the reason behind them not clearing Sting is? What do you think the reason is? I want you to be, what's the nefarious reason behind not clearing Sting?
I think.
What's the fucking weird, shitty, evil reason?
Are you gonna let me
answer? Yeah, answer it.
He goes, like, don't speak. And then now he fucking asks me a question while I'm speaking. I'll let you finish.
No, you think they're dicks. What's the dickheaded reason not to clear Sting to wrestle in WWE?
I think, okay, so am I allowed to answer this? I don't trust their doctors, right? So I think when they say something like Sting isn't, if he wrestles like one more time, he's going to permanently like cripple himself. I don't buy that. And what I'm saying is I don't think there's that much, like, I think there's just like, I don't think it's 100% true is what I'm saying. I don't 100% buy what their doctors say.
But you understand why the brass is going to be more careful than to be like, whatever, let's take the risk.
Oh, I of course. No, that part, of course. Yes. But what I'm saying is I understand why WWE would do what they do. They went through histories of fucking terrible shit happened, right? Met with their fucking wrestlers dying. Of course, they have to be cautious. Fucking Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, of course. But when they say their eye doctor said this about this person, that's why you can't wrestle him. I'm like, I don't 100% think those doctors are telling the truth.
It's not that they're not telling the truth. It's just like, all right, so when my dad went in for a stroke.
We can disagree on this. Go ahead, finish your thought, though.
When my dad went in, there's a 30% chance you might have a stroke. So we're going to err on the side of caution and give him the surgery. And they said there's a 3% chance it might go wrong, and then it did go wrong. I think when they go to Vince, I think these doctors go to Vince or whoever, and they're like, there's a 40% chance Edge might die in the ring. Let's say this is 2011, right?
Okay.
They're going to err on, like, we don't want to risk that 40%. We don't, so let's just not clear it. Because we're making all these billions of dollar deals with Fox and shit. That's not a dice I'm willing to roll. So maybe like when Edge went to the doctor in 2020, they're like, all right, there's a 30% chance the fucking guy might drop dead. And they're like, all right, we'll roll that dice. Put him back in the ring.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. The 10%.
That's what I think happens. They get a percentage and then they're like, all right, is it worth the risk?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, good.
That's fine. Go to the doctor.
I mean, it's not like Vince is like, fuck everybody.
That's not what I said. See, you're once again, you're putting words in my mouth, but. All I said was I don't trust their doctors.
Well, anyway,
trust somebody who's been proven to be fucking wrong a whole bunch of times. I'm sorry.
It's not being wrong. It's not being wrong. It's not wrong. It's risk assessment. What is, how is this worth the risk? Is this worth, if they go to you and they're like, the 60% chance Sting is going to drop dead if he wrestles. Okay, that's not fucking worth
Ray,
it.
You should work in insurance.
You work in insurance, so you know.
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you a question about this match.
Yeah.
By the way, what did you think of Sting in this match? I thought Sting looked good.
I thought Sting looked great.
Yeah.
I thought Sting and Darby Allin looked great. I just don't think I wouldn't be doing spots where he goes through a table and stands right back up. I think that was fucking stupid.
I think you know me, I'm not really big into no selling, so whatever. But whatever, that's the modern style. I think, I don't like garbage matches where they use like plunder and shit, when they use weapons and stuff, but I think this actually worked in Sting's favor. Because if it was just like a straight up tag team match, I think.
Your mic got cut off. Your mic's cut. Oh, there you are. You're back.
Yeah. A phone call was coming in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, do you know what I mean? Like, because it's like you're fighting all over the place, you know, like you just do a lot of punching and like using weapons and stuff like that. So it kind of hides like his like slowness or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
All right. I would have had them hit him with their finisher or something, or like, I don't know, hit him with like a double team move and then have him spring back up. I know where they're doing the table spot to tell everybody like Sting's in great shape and everybody was wrong about him. Yes. But I just wouldn't risk it to prove a point. Like, I just wouldn't do that. 62 is 62. So I wouldn't put him through a table.
After the match, Sting goes outside the ring and he hugs this old man. They said that it's his boss. Who is that guy?
He sells real estate. So that might be his real estate boss.
Wait, Sting sells real estate?
Yeah.
Does he need money?
No, he's apparently rich, but he's really good at real estate.
Do.
What?
He just wants something to do.
Well, fucking so apparently like some MMA fighter got hired in Impact to do an angle. And he walks in, he goes, "Oh, it's real estate Steve." And they're like, "Huh?" And they go, "Yeah, it's the guy who sold my house. He sold a bunch of us in the neighborhood our houses. So we call him real estate Steve." So I think he makes a killing. He's like does really well in real estate.
Oh, he just does it because he likes extra money. And I guess
He likes being loaded. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess he also is probably really good at selling.
Also, houses. You're not going through tables when you're selling your house.
Yeah. Oh, so you think this old guy is like his like Century 21 boss?
Yeah, like they probably like sell houses together. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He makes a ton of money. That's what I heard. At least back in the TNA days.
He hugged that guy. They were like, "Oh, it's his boss." And I was like, "Who is this guy?"
Yeah, that's weird that they acknowledge that's his boss. Why are you
like, "Yeah, there's his boss"? That's what JR said. And I was like, "Who is this fucking guy?"
Why would you say this guy has a boss? Like, that's like if Undertaker was like in the school board and he went and like pounded somebody. Like, "Oh, that's Undertaker, the guy that tells Undertaker what to do in the school board." It's like, wait, what? Yeah. Why would you?
All right, so after that, they do an exclusive. Sammy Guevara said he's going to have a special announcement. They show what happened, I guess, earlier tonight. Sammy Guevara's in the ring with this lady named Pam, who is his girlfriend, and he proposes to her. And they are now engaged, second engagement in Wrestling of the Week, guys. And afterwards, they cut to Sean Spears and Tully Blanchard, and Sean Spears shits all over her. This lady is going to be the most hated lady this week.
I'm always Pam? Shocked that the best, because this kid's a good looking kid. I'm always shocked.
Oh, I know where this is going. All right.
No, even when I saw Bret Hart's first wife, it was sitting. I'm always shocked when like these really good looking wrestlers have like the weirdest.
It's not all about looks, Ray. Okay. anyway, happy for them. Congratulations.
Well, I love, dude. This was actually the best Sean Spears promo of his life. He goes, "Must be Slim Pickens in Houston."
Yeah.
Or awesome.
The backstage promo Sean Spears gave was short, but it was like to the point. He shits all
over. Do you think they did it before the show so it didn't look like they were copying Dexter Lumis and India RE, or whatever the fuck her name is, India Hartwell?
No, I think they did it at the beginning of the show so that they can play into it for this match.
Well, they did it before the show. Maybe like they did it before the show. No.
So, yeah, but I think they did it before the show so they could play into it for the match.
But also maybe he did it before the show so he could take his time. He didn't have to rush. I would have liked it better if she was in the front row and like they're making fun of her, Tully Blanchard. At the end of the match, he proposed to her. That would have been fun.
Maybe, but I think there was time is one.
Yeah, that's what
the live show that you don't know how long it's gonna take, right? And also, Sean Spears.
I heard the WWE doctors didn't clear her to be near the rings. So that's what they did.
No, because they're not real doctors.
Okay.
And Sean's, you know, and also Sean.
Just a billion-dollar company. You don't have real doctors.
Right. But yeah, I mean, you could go to their doctor, right?
Just a billion-dollar company. They probably hire Zach McGovern to show up.
Yeah. Go to their doctor. You go to the doctor. Do it. Be a man. Put your money where your mouth is.
I will. Somebody call Triple H. Tell them to give me an appointment. I'll go.
Yeah. Also, I think by having Sean Spears shit on it in the promo just gives extra heat, you know? So we go to match number two. It's Sammy Guevara versus Sean Spears. Right from Jump Street, Sean Spears attacks Sammy Guevara before the bell rings. So they're fighting outside all over the ring. They show that Pam, his fiance, is at ringside. And then Sammy, like a Sean Spears, puts Sammy in a pile driver. They do a spike pile driver on the outside of the ring. Sammy does a wonderful job selling here. I thought he was legit hurt for a bit, and it wasn't. It was all just a fucking work because this guy starts doing fucking springboards and stuff. But in the beginning, when he was selling it, like, I thought he was legit hurt. They do... Yeah, this was... You said it was just Sean Spears' best match, right? Or the best promo,
the best
right?
promo. This match... Took me out of this match. You know what I fucking didn't like? Sammy Guerrero does the thing on the guardrail to him. And that's not the finish. The guy kicks out. And I'm like, that was some indie shit, bro.
There was a lot. Even though tonight's show was good, the one criticism I would have is that there was a lot of that shit tonight.
Yeah, to me, it's like
finishes that shouldn't have been the finishes.
Dude, like, this guy makes fun of your wife and you put him through a guardrail, that should be the end of the match. That, like, is such a... Like, the match kept going. Really? So, you're telling me that Sammy Guerrero, if he pushes through a guardrail, you can still get back up? That must mean Sammy Guerrero is not that fucking strong.
Yeah. All right, so, a lot of cool spots in this match. They do this thing where they both springboard up to the top turnbuckle. They both stare at each other. Mm-hmm. Spears gives him the middle finger. Sammy hits an awesome-looking top turnbuckle cutter. They do this thing where they set up the guardrail between the ring and the...
Yeah, this one, the match lost.
And the barricade. They do the Death Valley driver onto the guardrail. Rolls Sean Spears back into the ring. Sammy hits the 360 senton. Everyone thinks this is the finisher. This is the finish, right? The count, he kicks out. And it's a strong kick out. Everyone's like, what the fuck? So Sammy's like, I'm going to hit my finisher. GTH, which is a reverse GTS. And before he does that, he hits Sean Spears with a couple of knees, which fucking busts him open. So there's blood. But so two matches in, two people fucking bloodied. Remember Darby Allin, bloody fingers, the first match. Sean Spears, bloody face. GTH, Sammy Guevara wins. Afterwards, he goes, kisses his fucking fiance for like the extra, yay.
He was fucking his fiance. That would have been a funny ending. Oh, he just starts fucking her in the aisle.
Oh, yeah. People, I mean, this was his hometown, so people love
it. Dude, can I tell you how racist JR, like how stupid. JR goes, he reminds me of a young Eddie Guerrero. It's like, how does he remind you of young Eddie Guerrero? Because he's Hispanic. I think
that's
Sammy
basically
Guerrero's
what it is.
Really
yeah,
good,
you hit it right on the fucking nose.
Yeah, nothing he does reminds me of Eddie Guerrero.
No, but you know what? To Excalibur's credit, he played off of that, and he goes, "Yeah, he has like a certain type of heat, like you know, trying to go
Latino heat." Yeah, but I just I don't like that they say like every Hispanic wrestler reminds him of Eddie Guerrero. Like, why would they? Why? He doesn't do anything like Eddie Guerrero. He does nothing.
They don't just say that just for Hispanic wrestlers though. Cause like they do sometimes for black guys, you know, black wrestlers. Oh, this guy reminds me of people do it.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm sure Jim Ross. But I didn't like this match. I thought this match was, I liked it up until that point, and then it killed every, you know, the when Sean Spears kicked out. I thought that was really stupid, and it hurt Sammy. I didn't like this match. But the work, they got to get someone. We'll mention this later. They're not good at booking finishes, AEW. They don't know, like, they're not good at booking endings to things.
So there was five matches tonight. Mm-hmm. And if just based on tonight, if you just based what you said on tonight, you would be correct because – if you ask me, out of the five matches, only one finished. The first match had
the
perfect
the first
finish.
Match was...
And then the rest
of
the...
I almost feel like Sting had to, like, interfere and be like, no, let's do it like this. Because, like, that match was perfect.
Yeah. Even though this finish was, like, I mean, second match, it should have just ended with the 360 senton. But even though it didn't, I still like this match. I thought this was a fun match.
I didn't like it.
Sean Spears was hated. Sammy was beloved. It was perfect. Then we get Tony Schiavone, he is in the back trying to talk to Christian. Don Callis comes. Basically, Christian calls him a carny. And then we get a Dante Martin video package from last.
That was good.
Yeah. This guy, he had a match on Dark yesterday against Lee Moriarty. Mm-hmm. And he does this. I don't know. I think there's something in his shoe. I have no idea what it is, but I never seen a wrestler jump like it before, where he gets like extra air. You know, he did this thing where he just jumped over the guy and did like a sunset flip. But you know how most people, when they do sunset flips, your opponent has to be like bent over. You know, like you bend them over, then you like jump over him and then you do a sunset flip. This guy wasn't bent over. He was standing and then he just jumped over him and did sunset flip. I was like, it was incredible. I've never seen that before. But yeah, Dante is, he's like 19, dude. This guy.
Yeah, no, it was good to finally give someone a video package because nobody knows a lot about this fucking guy. And it's great to start giving these people video packages so people will get to know them. That I really, finally, after almost 2 years, they're doing shit like this. Thank God.
Yeah, there's a lot of upside with him. We'll see what happens. Then we get Dan Lambert from America Top Team, a trainer, famed trainer of a mixed martial artist. He's in the ring with Andre Arlovski and Junior Dos Santos, who are both former UFC champions. And he does a screaming promo, which even though he was screaming the whole time, I actually thought was a really, really good promo. But he basically shits on... He basically... gave the promo I think you would have gave it.
No, Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette.
Yeah, Jim Cornette. That's a good point. Jim Cornette, where he shits on all... He's on AEW. He goes, AEW is not what you guys think it is. It's not some family wrestling. It's not they're not the hope of pro wrestling that you think it is. And look, you guys are all losers. The only reason why you guys are here is because...
You couldn't masturbate on the internet.
You guys aren't hardcore fans. You just, like, you got nothing else. That's all. Then he shits on him. It's a good promo. Lance Archer comes out to save the day. But then Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page come out, beat the shit out of Lance Archer. Arlovski and Junior Dos Santos, because they're from UFC, they're not allowed to get involved at all. And that was it. They just beat the shit out of Lance Archer. It was such a letdown moment. It was so weird.
I didn't like it. I don't think they... So I think this promo... If you gave Jim Cornette or Paul Heyman this promo, they would eat, or even Don Callis, they would knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he screamed too much. I didn't think he was good. I agree with a lot of things he was saying, I just was found him to be annoying. And I'm like, what is this leading to? Because Murder Hawk can't wrestle these two guys. I didn't like it. And I also, what is like, I don't like, they're doing what WWE used to do, where this big unstoppable monster turns good, and then all of a sudden he gets beat up by everybody.
Yeah, I think this is obviously setting up their next program, but Lance Archer, and this is not even just AEW, New Japan is just as guilty as this as AEW is. They are never fully behind Lance Archer. Neither company has ever been. Lance.
No, Archer, they were for, when the pandemic hit at the very beginning. Remember, he was destroying everybody, and then once Cody Rhodes beat him, they gave up on him, and I was just like, why?
Yeah, but even before that, when he was in New Japan,
mm-hmm.
even there, when he first got real hot in the G1, like he was like a really good performance in the G1 tournament. Everyone's like, oh, this guy's a good. They wouldn't get behind him. They gave him the fucking U.S. title and then fucking lose.
Didn't he already lose the U.S. title Dynamite to a Japanese wrestler?
This is all before this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had the U.S. title originally before he was signed with
AEW. I know that. I remember he had it before. Yeah. I'm saying
my point was they had him lose it right away to Jon Moxley, even though he was hot. Then he gets signed by AEW. And like you said, after Cody beats him, he's just like floundered. He wins the U.S. title again on AEW. And, like, I think less than 2 weeks later, he lost it to Tanahashi on just this weekend. Just this past weekend, he lost it. So, yeah, he won
just,
it again.
I didn't like this whole segment. I don't think Dan Lambert's – I don't know why. You have enough people. You don't need to waste TV time on Dan Lambert. I think he stinks.
I think they're trying to – I don't, and this is just a theory of mine. I think Tony Khan is trying.
I think they're trying to do Jim Cornette with Dan Lambert.
Or they're trying to get like another Forbidden Door thing. He wants to work with some MMA people. you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like it. I was not a fan.
Yeah, I know this is leading to probably Lance Archer and somebody else versus Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, but they need to do something with Lance Archer. They can't keep building him up and then like stopping it because they keep doing that. They did it against Kingston. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're not, nobody, like, they need to go full throttle with Lance Archer. If not, then I don't know why you guys have him there.
Yeah, bro.
Jericho cuts a promo, and then we're going to go to match number 3. It is Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks for the tag team titles. Young Bucks come with the whole entourage. Jurassic Express just come with Marco Stunt. They hit the Young Bucks at the Indie Taker, and you think that's a finish, but it's not. He kicks out. Then Marco Stunt is on the ropes, trying to, like, you know, encourage Jungle Boy, and Kenny Omega comes out with a steel chair with a shirt that says Chick Magnet on it, and then he hits Marco Stunt, and then Christian comes out, chases Kenny Omega away. Then, you know, they're taking out all the fucking people outside the ring. People are going crazy. They really want Jungle Boy to win. But ultimately, at the end, Young Bucks hit the BTE trigger on Jungle Boy, and they pin Jungle Boy to retain. Afterwards, Kenny Omega and Doc Gallows bring out Christian. They beat up Christian. They beat up Jungle Boy. They beat up Jurassic Express. They're just beating the crap out of everybody. And that is how we end the first hour. Very hot match. Weird ending. It just sucked the life out of the room.
I'm going to say this. They've got to give Jungle Boy a title at the next pay-per-view.
I felt like they were going to win tonight. I really did.
I think they've got to. Jungle Boy has choked way too many times. They run the risk of having these guys come close and missing it. It's now been 2 years that Jungle Boy and Hangman Page get this close and then fail. And so Jungle Boy has, I think they need to do a rematch at the pay-per-view, and Jungle Boy and the other guy have to win. Christian can lose. I still can't believe they're going through with Kenny Omega Christian this pay-per-view, but it is, they must have some killer matches. Like I think it's going to be CM Punk versus MJF, by the way.
I don't know. I felt like they were setting up CM Punk coming after this elite group, like with this. I just felt like it because
I don't know.
Kenny Omega, this is the second time he's been wearing a CM
Punk. I know, but they're so fucking, they like to be so like fucking smarky that I guarantee you CM Punk's gonna come out and like challenge MJ. Like he's just like, oh, but just so everybody knows, this is an in joke.
By the way, those of you guys who don't know, Chick Magnet is supposed to be one of the theories on what CM stands for. The other one is Cookie Monster. The other one is Chicago Made. So was the Chick Magnet shirt the only little tease for CM Punk tonight? Yes. Or did I get something else? That was the only one, right?
Yeah. That was the only one. Okay. Yeah, I didn't like I
like Young Magnet, though.
The Young Bucks need to lose the belt, and I think they need to lose it to Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus at the pay-per-view. If they give Jungle Boy some weird match again, I don't know. Like, you got to pull the trigger on these guys. People, you can only have these guys lose so much, and then people don't care. And I know Hangman Page, I'll excuse the Hangman Page thing, he's going to have a baby. But I thought Hangman Page lost because they had CM Punk, and now it's Christian versus Kenny Omega at the fucking pay-per-view. This is what I mean by not being able to book a satisfying finale to their stories. That you build, and then they don't do anything. And you had Kenny Omega lose to Christian. It's like these stories build and then they just kind of like half-ass end. There's only so much you can do that.
Yeah, because even when they did the explosion match, that was supposed to be the finish up. Like,
mm-hmm. It just always seems like the end of a feud, and then we're going to come up on this later, or the end of something is done shitty. And then wait till you see the next story. And it's like, the next story always starts good. Like, the pinnacle is here. Oh, wow. And then, like, it just kind of fizzles out by the end. It's not a satisfying
Let me ask you a question. It was Orange Cassidy versus Jericho the final one, the Mimosa match?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? You've got a good point. And see, when you're actually right, I will agree with you. You're right. AEW is terrible at
like ending really stories.
Yeah, they have good story. They just don't know how to finish it.
But here's my thing. So Hangman Page lost that match because he was going off to have a baby. Why would you make him look like such a fucking idiot and do this whole thing where this is it? You know, why would you let him choke like that if you knew ahead of time? Like this baby showed up out of nowhere. Oh my God, my wife's 9 months pregnant. I didn't know. You know, like oh, we gotta change everything. You knew the baby was fucking coming. So yeah, why didn't you just
have him do the kayfabe, like they beat the shit out of him and he's like, oh, they stretchered him out. We don't know
anything. Yeah, and Christian, you take my match. I don't know, like,
just like, why do they do what they do with Cody all the time?
What?
Like, why don't they do what they do with Cody all the time? You know, like, yeah.
No, Cody always has a satisfying finish to his fucking feud.
No. What I'm saying is, like, you know when Cody has to leave? So, like, I got to film this fucking big show. Go big show. They're like, oh, okay, we'll just have Malakai Black beat the shit out of me and I'll explain my absence. Why didn't you do that with Hangman Page is what I'm saying. Beat him up so he can explain his absence.
Yeah, it said he lost that match. Looks stupid. Yeah. And it's like, dude, you've been building him to defeat Kenny Omega for 2 years now. And I made him look like a fucking idiot. And how long are you going to build to him finally beating Kenny Omega? And then Kenny Omega loses to Christian. So it's like, they don't know how to end stories. They always like kind of like half-ass end the story and then be like, but the next story is going to be even better. And it's like, no, dude, just end your fucking story. Just end it. Like, yeah. Say what you will about WWE, but when they do know how to end feuds, like Sasha and Bayley had a good ending. You can say you didn't like the middle part, but that Hell in a Cell match wasn't the greatest match, but it was a satisfying ending to the story. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, WWE, if you're looking at their track record, mm-hmm. and they have a long track record, it's mostly positive finishes. Yeah.
You may not like where they go, but when they end the story, either Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, they got to the end, there was a fucking definite ending. Like, this is definitely over. Roman Reigns won.
The Kofi Kingston title quest.
That's another one. Yes, yeah. But then, like, you know, yeah. But, like, they know how to end stories, which is what's good. And I think it's because they had Pat. TNA did the same. I remember calling TNA the same thing, is that they would start these stories with all this promise. And then they would just kind of fizzle out and be like, well, the next story is going to be even better. And they still do it to this day. There's no beginning, middle, or end. They just kind of meander. And then, like, I guess Christian now has the Impact belt. Like, you're building up Impact trying to get rid of Kenny Omega, and then Christian does it. And it's like, how does that help your fucking, I don't know. We'll talk more about that.
No, I think it's a good point. I think that problem, I wonder if it happens because
they don't have
based on how you write these stories. Because maybe write it without the ending first, like,
yeah,
without the ending, like, you need, if you're writing a story, a wrestling storyline, sometimes I think people write it without an ending in mind.
Well, like when they started this I Don't Believe in Myself Hangman Page storyline, they should have had a definite ending. And in my mind, I would have had Hangman Page, when I started this in December, I would have said Hangman Page is beating Kenny Omega in September. That's it, and we're going to focus everything around getting to that day. And that's what they did with Hogan Macho Man. When they decided in 1988 that at WrestleMania 5, Hogan's going to beat Macho Man, and then they went backwards from there, and that's why everybody loves WrestleMania 5, at least that main event, you know? Because they built everything from there. They know where and I think Vince got that from Pat Patterson. So I think Vince has it in his head, this is the ending, and then we build, and I think that's the way to do it. Like, what's the end goal? The end goal right now, I think the end goal right now, honestly, is that next year Jungle Boy should get the belt. That's what I would build towards. So go from there, starting on Rampage, you build a story to get to him getting the belt at All Out in 2022.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
I think if you write it that way, because the way you're writing is you already have the ending planned ahead of time. Yes. So, yeah, I think maybe that's something that, I mean, this is just like me speculating, but it doesn't seem like they do that.
They don't
like
do that. I don't know why they don't do that.
Like, I have a good idea. We're going to have this guy fight this guy. Okay, and then what happens? Well, we'll figure it out each week. That's what
they do.
figure it out each week.
I would have had, when I saw this, I in my head, when this whole Kenny Omega thing started in January after Wrestle Kingdom, I had in my head the end result is Kenny Omega and his butt buddy for the New Japan title, right? Mm-hmm. And I get it, they're probably the pandemic, but I don't think they ever even thought about that. And that's what I would have done. All right, Kenny eventually is going to fight his former lover slash best friend, and we're going to go from that. And that's what they don't do shit like that. I don't understand why, because then it just never ends in a sense. They kind of like do like this thing. Well, that kind of sucked, but look over here. And
yeah. New Japan has good endings too. They did.
Yeah, New Japan has good endings too. Yes.
To give AEW a little credit, they're still relatively. The guy who's running this company is a newbie in wrestling. At the end of the day, I don't know what you guys say about
TNA has had that problem for years, though. For like 20 years, they've had that problem. Yeah. They don't know how to end the story.
And one thing I will say is Tony Khan he's a newbie. I don't care if you guys think he's genius, he's a newbie at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So he's probably learning on the job. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But if they still have this problem in year 5, then that's a big problem.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say. It's a big problem if by year 5 mm-hmm. you're still having this. All right. Moving along. Tony Schiavone. Where is Alex Marvez? Is he on vacation or something?
I don't even know when he's on the show. So
he is
so
their backstage announcer.
I know, but I don't even know when. Who cares?
So Tony Schiavone.
Maybe it's COVID.
Yeah. So Tony Schiavone is basically doing the commentary and then running the back and interviewing people and running to the ring and interviewing people.
There's nobody else they can have do. Why can't Mark Henry do that in the back?
Why does Mark Henry have to
or be Big Show.
Specifically only on Rampage? Right? It's like you can only be.
Maybe he's got other things in his life. He doesn't want to give up.
Yeah. So Tony Schiavone is interviewing Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. And they cut a promo where they shit on Red Velvet and they shit on Chris Statlander. I thought it was a nice introduction to Jamie Hayter for people to know. She gave a little background.
Yeah, her promo kind of sucked though.
It wasn't the best, but it gave a nice little like why she's aligned with her. We have history and so forth. I was like, it's fine. It wasn't that long. It wasn't long either. So
you know what I think they need to have Britt Baker do? They need to have her say to Tony, don't fucking do that with me. And like I always have Tony try to start. Because, like, The Rock used to get mad when the announcer tried to copy him. And like, The Rock was like, you're not on my level. Don't do that. Okay, I don't like the fact that Tony does it with her. It's too cute.
For those of you who have not been following AEW all the way, it actually started with her making Tony do it.
Okay, but I think now she's telling him not to.
Yeah, in the beginning, Tony was not into her. He was like, this girl is so – I hate interviewing this girl. She shits on me. You know, like she makes fun of me, and then he was like, Tony, you got to do the finger thing, you got to do it. And then, like, he got into it. That's why he does it. Mm-hmm. All right, moving along. They have a video package of Matt Hardy and Wheeler Yuta, and he says he beats up Wheeler Yuta, and then he beats up everybody in the best friends group. And then Orange Cassidy responds, okay, I'm going to have a match with you next week. So it's Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy next week. Orange Cassidy should win. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to win, but he should win.
What's the deal? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to see, yeah. Tony Schiavone's in the ring, and he's interviewing Paul White, formerly Big Show. Mm-hmm. And the Factory comes out. This is QT Marshall, Aaron Solo, and Nick Camerato. And then they show... Big Show's injury. They show all the fucking bolts in his hip and they say, you can't wrestle. You're just a commentator, man. So, like, stop trying to, like, say, like, you're going to get wrestled. And then Big Show reveals, I got the big announcement. I talked to Tony Khan. I'll have a match at All Out. And it's against you, QT. QT's reaction to this was terrible. His shock look was like, it looks stupid. I think if this was WWE, this would be a pre-show match, but because it's Big Show, it's not going to be a pre-show match.
People hated this. I had no problem with it. Here's the reason. Mm-hmm. They told you when they signed Big Show, he was going to have matches. He was going to have a match sooner or later. Like, if you're so fucking annoyed, like, I don't think they should have ever signed Big Show. They did, but part of the deal was this fucking guy gets a match. So, like, two mm-hmm. or three matches a year. So, mm-hmm. you gotta, so I just feel like, all right, let him have it at All Out. and let him have it against QT Marshall. It's the least offensive thing they could have done.
And we know it's not going to be a long match, you know? And it's, dude, fine. Yeah.
Let Big Show dude, I'm fine with people that suck like QT Marshall just losing to Big Show for the next 3 or 4 years. Like guys like him and Sean Spears just being squashed by him.
Yeah.
Every two or three paper. I'm fine. I don't know why anyone has a problem with this. Yeah, everyone's going, oh, great, Big Show, Big Show. Well, this is what happens when you sign the Big Show. He has a fucking match. So it's going to be against this loser. What did you think Big Show – what do you think was going to happen with Big Show when they signed fucking Big Show? What do you think?
I'm never going to get used to calling him Paul White. Never.
I know. What did they think was going to happen? Like, what did they think? Oh, you know what? I know my contract says I get matches, but, you know, let's just fucking let the flying guy fight Angelico instead. No, he gets matches as part of his contract.
The flying guy?
What?
The flying guy?
The guy that had the package earlier. Let him fight Angelico instead. I don't want my match. I know it's in my contract. I don't want to be paid.
I didn't have a problem with this. The only thing was
I don't know what anyone has a problem with him having a match.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like was QT's shock surprise at the end.
Really, I just don't want these fans like, oh, no, Big Show shouldn't have a match. Well, he fucking signed to have matches, bro.
Yeah.
He signed because Vince wouldn't give him matches. So, sorry. He's going to have matches. I'm fine with it. Let him fucking wrestle.
Yeah. All right. So then we get another backstage segment is Jade Cargill and Mark Sterling. And they talk about Kira Hogan because Kira Hogan was recently left Impact Wrestling. And she's been wrestling on Dark Elevation and Dark this week, creating great reactions. Really looking good in the ring too, by the way. Something about like, I don't know what it is, but like when wrestlers are on Impact, they look like less professional than when they go anywhere
else. Yeah, because Impact's run by an idiot, the fat fucking slob who doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, like remember MSK? Like,
I thought they were the biggest losers on the planet.
Yeah, and then they come over to NXT, they look like the best fucking wrestlers. And Kira Hogan, the same thing. Like there was a point where people were getting sick and tired of her and Tasha Steelz.
Oh,
she's on Dark and Dark Elevation, and she looks amazing. She looks like you're like you watch it and you go like they need to sign this girl.
Yeah, she's sorry, like, my kid gets to the phone. Why do people anyway?
It's all right.
Give me a second. I don't like Jade Cargill. I don't like her at all. I don't think she brings anything to the table. She brings less than nothing. And I even think this Mark Sterling guy stinks with her too.
I like Mark Sterling, but I think I know what Jade Cargill brings, and it's her looks.
I don't care. I like Kira Hogan's look better. So
yeah. Anyway, the whole point of this segment was Jade Cargill and Kira Hogan in probably her biggest, biggest match ever. Yeah, biggest match ever are going to be on Rampage this week.
I would love it if that's the main event, and they just don't bring out CM Punk.
No, they said that it's not going to be the main. They already mentioned what the main event's going to be.
Dean Ambrose, right?
Yes, Dean Ambrose.
Versus the other guy. What the fuck?
It's like, dude, I can't get used to their AEW names. I understand. I totally understand.
Whatever. I think Jade Cargill is she made a thing on Twitter, like fans. What the fuck, bro? Come on, man. I can't. Give me a fucking second. It's fucking annoying. Fucking keep calling me.
Anyway, I'll talk while. Here he's back.
Fucking.
Oh, you're talking about Jade Cargill's Twitter.
Yeah, she made a fucking tweet like, you know, fans, they don't know what we go through and what we do as performers, and they're so negative. Like, bro, you had like four matches. You had four fucking matches.
I know, she's barely a wrestler.
What?
She's barely a wrestler.
Don't fucking tell me about the fans. Shut the fuck up. Like, she goes on Twitter and acts like she's fucking Ric Flair or fucking Trish Stratus. Or, dude, you're not even fucking Santana Garrett. Shut the fuck up. And I think she stinks. I don't think she's likable. I liked her look when she first showed up. I don't give a shit. I think go. She has the same thing with me as Tyler Durden. Or what the fuck's his name? You know, my friend. The guy with Tully Blanchard. What's his name?
John Spears?
Yeah, Tyler Durden.
Tyler Durden?
I don't know.
Yeah,
he's got the same. I just think she should go get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad for Kira Hogan because it's going to be the biggest match of
her life. But I feel like they're going to beat up Kira Hogan to prove that, like, not everyone's going to get a contract. So we're going to
Dude, this is going to be a squash match.
Yeah, but I don't think it should be. I think it should be the. I think Kira Hogan should beat up fucking.
Unless they swerve us and she pulls out a victory.
There is so much more upside with Kira Hogan than this fucking loser. I'm sorry. There is. Kira Hogan, 20 times. It's not even close how much more of a star Kira Hogan is than this horrible human being.
One thing I did like about this matchup that they're going to do is when they were doing like the preview for the Rampage and they have the people standing, they do actual sizes of the wrestlers standing there and they show you the size difference between Jay and Kira. I thought that was very well done. Good job in the graphics team. Anyway, this Friday is probably going to be the most watched show and Kira Hogan's got a match on it. So whether or not it's a squash match or not, it doesn't matter. She's getting the big spotlight on somebody who's not even signed. So good for her. Then we're going to get Tony Schiavone. He's in the back with the whole being the elite crew. And then they're like, oh, you just beat up the fucking Jurassic Express. But guess what? Tony Khan's upset about this. So he's creating a tournament. There's a tag team tournament. Lucha Brothers are in it. Jurassic Express. I know. Who else is in? Lucha Brothers are in it. Jurassic Express is in it. Varsity Blondes are in it. And who was the other team? There's a fourth.
I don't know. I walked out of the room for this. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, guys. But anyway, the tournament is the winner will face the Young Bucks in a steel cage match at All Out.
Why don't you just give Jurassic Express the fucking steel cage match and then build to the match with promos and shit for the next two? Dude, there's not even a month. They got like fucking 3 weeks. Like, just build the feud.
Yeah.
Two Dynamites until. Why have a fucking tournament?
I was trying to think, but.
Why have a tournament? That's so.
No, it is. It's only 2 weeks. You're right. It's only 2 weeks.
Just fucking. Next week just have Jungle Boy say, this is bullshit. I want you to steel cage. My dad was Luke Perry. And didn't have the fucking match. Like, why with this fucking tournament, bro? That's so fucking dumb. I hate.
If he ever turns heel, he should always bring that up at the end of the dad. Yeah, you know how dare you do this to me? My dad was Luke Perry.
Dude, like, why? If I was the fucking Jurassic Express, like, they literally just beat the shit out of us and fucked us. Why should we have to go through a tournament to get our fucking rematch? They beat the shit out. That never happened in any other storyline in any other company. Did the Rock and Roll Express have to go through tournaments to get the fucking Midnight Express if they got the shit beat out of them? No, they just had a fucking match. This is so
well. Unless bad. This is all, I mean, there's no guarantee the Jurassic.
Watch, by the way, Jurassic Express lose the fucking tournament, and one of the other teams gets watch that happen.
Because yeah, it could be Lucha Brothers. It could. They're hot right now.
I don't want to see that. I want to see Jurassic Express. I love the Lucha Brothers. They've got to pull the trigger on Jungle Boy. They've got to do it. They've got to do it now.
No, I
agree. I don't give a fuck. You have CM Punk, Bray Wyatt.
You gave Darby a title, which is good. Mm-hmm. When he had the TNT title, but it's time for Jungle Boy to actually get something before you lose. I agree.
Okay, I didn't know they. Okay, that's so fucking dumb. Anyway,
yeah, they're gonna do this tournament. So
I guess they were upset, right?
Who were upset?
The elite.
Oh yeah, they were like.
Why would you be upset? It's like, well, that's great because these fucking four retards are gonna kill the. These eight idiots are going to kill themselves for weeks, and we'll just sit and wait. So who cares?
Why can't I remember who the fourth team was?
Let's just keep going. I don't care.
All right. Now comes probably the most confusing segment of the night. Taz is in the ring with Hook. They bring out the FTW champion, Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks is like, Brian Cage, come on out. Let's have a talk. They show a clip in the back, and it's Will Hobbs' return. And he's beating the crap out of Brian Cage. And then all of a sudden, Brian Cage gets up and they start fighting back. And they're now Ricky Starks is like, oh, scared. Cut it off. Let's run away. And then everybody runs away. Everybody in the audience is like, huh? The people in the audience were just like, what is going on with this? What a waste of a segment this was. This was weird.
Yeah. I guess they don't want to tell what's going on. So they just did a weird angle. I don't know. They clearly don't want to tell us what's going on with these. Well, they couldn't have the match. They don't want to let us know. So,
I don't think Brian Cage is as over as – I don't think he's over.
He's not over at all. He's not over
at all. Yeah, he's not, right? He's not. It's not just me that thinks this, right?
Yeah, no, he's not over at all.
I don't think he's a good, like, face. I think he needs to be a like somebody's like a bad guy.
Yeah, he's not a good face character. He's also very likable. Like Wardlow. Right? He's a less talented Wardlow. Yes.
Yeah, he needs to be like a Wardlow character, like just like a be somebody's. He needs to be like Will Hobbs, be like a muscle, somebody's muscle. But I am not. Yeah, I'm not interested in this at all. I am not actually. And this was really confusing. This was stupid. Tony Schiavone is with the Death Triangle, and they're like, "Hey, you guys, Lucha Brothers, you guys are in this tag team tournament. How do you guys feel about it?" And then Andrade comes out, and he goes, "Pac, if you want to match with me at All Out, that's fine, but you gotta agree to all these conditions." And he gives like a big, like Encyclopedia Britannica of things that Andrade wants, and then they walk away. I mean, it is what it is. I mean.
Yeah, it was. Oh, we're starting to like this show. We started like,
yeah. No, you know what happens is, this happens a lot where they start off really strong and then somewhere in the middle they start losing it, but then they kind of get back at the end. Most time, not all the time. Match number 4 is Penelope Ford versus Thunder Rosa. I think every man watching this was like hoping that she was going to pop out. Somehow it wasn't, but Penelope Ford was doing all sorts of fucking bending over and shit. Ultimately, Thunder Rosa hits a modified STF move for Ford to kind of tap out. The finish kind of came out of nowhere, but I didn't think this match was bad. I thought Penelope Ford looked good. Thunder Rosa was super over because this is our hometown crowd. I like this match.
Yeah, I like it too. You know, I made a joke on Twitter to my friend. This match has been, you know, those custom wrestling things that like Chase and Rance does. This match has been like at so many of those sites. Like they've done like custom wrestling, apart wrestling these two together. So it's funny to see them like on like
national really? TV.
Yeah, Thunder Rose is big in the custom wrestling. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. And Penelope Ford is too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So like there's 50 websites where you can buy this match and they're like half naked. Sure.
I think what Penelope Ford is missing is like a personality.
They don't give her any chance to show her personality.
Unless they've heard her cut a promo and they were like, no, it's not good.
I think she's really good in the ring. I think she's got a great look.
She's not bad in the ring. She does a lot of good,
this was my second.
Super flexible.
This was my second favorite match of the night.
This wasn't my second favorite, but I didn't think it was a bad match. I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Penelope Ford has a great look. She's not bad in the ring. She's pretty good, but she just doesn't, like, that's like the one thing she's missing. She's missing a personality, you know? She just can't just be like, I'm just the hot girl. Like, that's just not enough. But I think once she gets that missing piece, she has so much potential to become like the face of the women's division.
Yeah.
You know, like she could be like the Britt Baker level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really see it. So anyway, yeah, bye match. Then we get Tony Schiavone. He's in the back with they do a video package to show you what Malakai Black did to Arn Anderson and Cody. Then we get Tony Schiavone in the back with Arn Anderson and Brock Anderson. Arn Anderson gives a long-winded fucking promo for no fucking reason when he could just said, Brock, my son. He got a match with Malakai Black next week on Dynamite. This is a mistake, dude. Don't do it. And Brock goes, Dad, it's already signed. I'm not asking you if I can do this match. I'm just telling you that I'm doing this match. So that's the match next week.
I'm glad you're going to do that match. Remember, I complained that why isn't his son upset? So.
And do you remember what I said? Give him some time. Let's see. Mm-hmm. It hasn't played out. And this is what they're doing. Arn Anderson, he got to fucking talk less. He does these long-winded things that just like...
That's what he's always done. That's Arn.
It's so fucking annoying. This kid, have you seen him wrestle since that one time?
No. Is he on Dyke? Is he on Dark Elevation Wrestling?
He's on a Dyke.
Yeah, he's on Dyke.
He's on Dyke.
AEW Dyke.
Yeah, he's on Dark. He is like... Remember the discussion we had about him was that it's nepotism. He's too green. And the only reason why he's on TV is because he's somebody's son. And Arn Anderson told the truth. He's only had a handful of matches. This guy is super fucking green. He has no business being on Dynamite unless all he's going to do is just get his ass
fucking. It's going to be a complete squash.
Yeah, if it's a squash match, I'm okay with that, you know? Yeah. You know, just let him get squashed. Like, get hit three times.
I think he's going to get beaten up really bad, and then Arn Anderson is going to, like, recruit someone to help him. Oh, yeah, that's going to be the next step. Arn Anderson's going to get somebody.
Buddy Murphy?
What?
Buddy Murphy?
Maybe. Or somebody. He's going to get somebody.
Because Buddy Murphy's contract, I mean, his 90-day is up in September.
Oh, so maybe like Buddy Murphy will be Arn Anderson's enforcer. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
That actually would be – I've got my own – I used to be the enforcer. Now I have my own enforcer. Say hello to Buddy Murphy.
That's good, yeah. And they have his history. People
they're not going to do that. But
They're not.
Buddy Murphy's going to come out cut a promo that WWE held him down.
Yeah. They're going to be like, we got an enforcer, and it's going to be Buddy Murphy. But what's going to happen is you guys going to have to explain. I don't know. They're going to fuck up the finish somehow. They're going to fuck it up. Miro cuts a promo where he calls out Eddie Kingston. So that's the next feud between these two. I think that should be fun. Miro versus Eddie Kingston. That's going to be really fun.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah. That looks like it's going to be fun. Then Jon Moxley cuts a promo where he shits on everyone. He shits on Kenny Omega. He shits on Hangman Page. He shits on Christian, but he says some, like, he's like, oh, you put on a cowboy hat, you think you're a cowboy, like, nobody fucking cares. Oh, Christian, fucking old, you're fucking wrestling, nobody wants to see you wrestle anymore. Like, oh, he's like, I was champion when there was no fans in the arena. I carried this company, and now everybody wants to come back. It's time for me to go back on top, but this kid, Daniel Garcia, everybody wants to be involved. Now you want to be in the main event? All right, well, now's your shot. You and me, main event, Rampage this Friday. I hope they're probably not going to do it, but Jon Moxley should just squash this Daniel Garcia.
I think every match – what are the matches for Rampage?
Okay, so there's three matches. Jay Cargill versus Kira Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Jon Moxley versus Daniel Garcia. And
you're right there?
Yeah, I just forgot what the –
I think every match is going to be short because if they don't let CM Punk cut a long fucking promo, they're either fucking worse.
Yeah, you're right. It's not Jamie. No, it's not a women's match. I feel like it's got to be a tag match.
I think you might be right.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's like Private Party and it's one of the matches in this tag team tournament. It's Private Party versus, I think, Varsity Blondes.
Okay, good. Yeah, that match will probably be long. Everything else will be short.
That's what it was. It's Private Party, Jurassic Express. That was the team I forgot.
Private Party. That match will like start the show, start off hot.
Yes.
And then they'll move on to two squashes and then Punk.
I think it's a good point. Give Punk a lot of time to like say whatever you want to
say.
Yeah,
don't like drag it out. You have an hour. Get to it so you can milk the crowd reaction. Get to it as soon as you can.
Dude, the crowd reaction alone, you're going to have to give over 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just for them to settle.
Don't fucking try to, like, give – I hate this. Don't give Kira Hogan and the other idiot time to shine. Move it. Go, go, go.
Good point. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Jon Moxley is supposed to be the main event. Hopefully, it's like a 8-move squash. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to go to match number 5, our fifth and final match. This is the fifth labor of Chris Jericho. There's no Judas effect. There's no Judas period allowed. Mm-hmm. So MJF comes out, then Chris Jericho comes out, and obviously everybody's singing Jericho's theme.
I hated that. I hate how Jericho always looks like he's so shocked that they're singing. Like, yeah. You know how he always has this, whoa! Like, dude, they do this every fucking week.
Yeah, it's very egotistical, but I will say this. It looked like the fans were having the time of their life.
Well, good for them. They should all die.
Yeah. Like the fans are having a time in their life, so I'm like, all right, fine. Jericho looked good in this match. He hit a lion salt that didn't like look like it was going to kill him. You know, he looked like he was on point. They told a story where MJF keeps working on Jericho's injured arm. And ultimately, at the end of the day, Jericho tries to go for that Judas effect and he stops himself because he's not allowed to hit it, even though the referee is not looking at him. And he could have hit it anyway. Right? Because the ref's not looking.
Yeah.
But no, he stops himself, and then MJF gets the advantage and hits the salt of the earth, Fujiwara armbar, and Jericho taps out. He has lost to MJF 3 times. This is probably the end of their feud, I'm hoping. This is it. This is probably it.
I thought this match was very anticlimactic. I didn't think it was that good. You know, all this buildup, you waste it on a Dynamite match. I thought the finish was very boring. The whole thing after all that buildup, it just felt like it just didn't have a. It felt like a regular TV match. This whole
Why did you go through this labors just to have him lose, right?
And like, also just a regular match. Like I would have had like the fifth labor be like Jericho, like this insane fucking match that MJF throws at him. It was just a very boring way to end it. That's what I mean. Like, they don't know. And I thought the match was very boring. It didn't have a lot of heat. Jericho did look good.
I mean, the crowd was super into this match. They were.
I wasn't into it. I thought it sucked. I thought the finish sucked.
I think from the TV audience, some of us may have not been into it because we've seen this match over and over. But the crowd
whole big buildup, and then like it's just this kind of like fucking. It felt like a Raw match. It was like this whole big buildup, and then this. It's like. I would have saved this match for the pay-per-view and made some like stupid stipulation. I just thought this was a waste of time.
Oh man, there's a good point. There's a good chance this might not be over and they might do another match.
No, I think.
I hope not.
I don't think Darby Allin gets Punk. I think MJF gets Punk.
That's a good point. I want to ask you. Why do you think MJF gets Punk?
Because he's a bad guy that hasn't been destroyed yet. And it's a good way and CM Punk can come out and put him in his place. You have a feel-good first match for him. If it's Darby Allin, it's not a feel-good moment for CM Punk to beat up Darby Allin, who has Sting in his corner. But if the first match is MJF, and MJF suffers his first loss to CM Punk, it makes CM Punk look good. It's a feel-good moment. And finally, MJF, after 2 years, is put in his place by the returning Punk. And I think this match was a blow-off to keep MJF open for Punk. That's my feeling.
Something is happening, though, with Darby Allin and Punk, because even tonight when they were doing that promo for this week's Rampage, the ending, they ended it with Darby Allin. Darby Allin going, like, he doesn't have a match this Friday at all.
No, I know, but I think
the promo and they ended it with him going, he wants the best in the world. They showed that.
I think they just had him say it. I don't think the first match. If it is, it is. I'd be very shocked. But I kind of feel like MJF. They ended this so MJF could move on.
No. Okay, I don't think that's their first match. But I think Darby Allin's involved somehow. Like I think he's involved.
Maybe MJF attacks Darby Allin and then he comes out. I'm trying to think of a logical thing for CM Punk to come in and do. And I think MJF, he's the only heel without anything going on. If Jericho and him are done, he's the only heel with nothing going on. So that would kind of be a place to insert Punk. You know, you still, the Christian Kenny Omega thing is still going. The Rusev just called out fucking Eddie Kingston. All the heels kind of are occupied except for MJF right now. So.
John Moxley,
how is that going to, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to really.
Because he's in the main event, right, at Rampage. After he beats Daniel Garcia, maybe he starts cutting a promo shitting on everybody all over again, right? Like he did tonight.
That would be good. But I think it'd be better for CM Punk to fight a straight up heel and to beat the heel. I think if you haven't beat up a guy that's like a good guy.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
It kind of muddles. It kind of like, why sacrifice Darby or John Moxley when you can sacrifice MJF? And MJF is not going to lose anything by losing to Punk, being pinned by Punk, and being made to look like an idiot by Punk. He's not going to lose anything.
My original pick was like an Ethan Page, like a nobody, like
yeah, but
like
it's not going to be a, well, Ethan. But yeah, Ethan like a Page that has something to care about.
What? Yeah, Ethan I know. Yeah.
So I think it's going to be MJF.
Yeah, that's a good point. It could be MJF. I don't know if I want MJF to lose right away.
Well, maybe you could do MJF and Wardlow versus Darby Allin and Punk.
Yeah, that's fine. That'll work.
And then you build to Darby Allin turning on Punk or Punk turning on Darby Allin And maybe the November pay-per-view is the two of them in a one-on-one match.
Like a Sean Spears could lose to Punk.
No. Sean Spears doesn't deserve the return match of fucking Duke the Dumpster Drosy, let alone CM Punk. Absolutely not. CM Punk, if CM Punk walked to Tony Khan's hall and goes, your return match is going to be against the chairman, Sean Spears, I would literally get up and leave and block his number.
No, absolutely, but they're friends. Not. They're friends.
Who?
Sean Spears and CM Punk.
Doesn't matter. And also,
they came up together in FCW. But why would you?
Sean Spears just got the shit kicked out of him by fucking Sammy Guerrero.
But CM Punk might be like, hey, if I'm just going to squash the first person, can it just be like Sean Spears? Because I haven't
No, that's a waste. I think that's a waste.
Yeah, Punk might make my request. So I'm saying
I don't think he would. It doesn't matter if it's his friend. Did he push the feud with Scotty Goldman when he was in fucking WWE? No.
He got him the job. He was trying to get there, I think.
I think it's a great idea if I lose Scotty Goldman.
How about this, Vince? Next year's WrestleMania, Scotty Goldman versus CM Punk.
He was friends with Kofi Kingston when he was a heel. He could have been like, let me lose a belt to Kofi Kingston. He didn't do that. So
yeah.
All right. Well, listen, you hate women, so guys, tomorrow night, SummerSlam week continues. We're going all the way to Sunday. Tomorrow night, NXT UK, which, by the way, nobody watches, but we're watching. It's going to be a good one. Two title matches. NXT UK and Impact with a fallout of Christian title win. Are you excited?
No, actually not excited about Thursday. I'm more excited about every other day, but Thursday.
But we've got it. We've got to get through it. We've got to do it.
We'll try our best.
We're on the road. It's all connected. All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow night.